Good morning, good to be back this morning. Folk, I want to share with you probably one of the most basic sermons I'll ever preach, but a very challenging one and quite profound the way Jesus interacts with a fisherman. It's so amazing how God wants to take our lives and restore them. I'm going to move a little bit back because I spit. There'll be baptism at the same time. So, and folk, here God or Jesus takes the life of a man and calls him the rock and builds his church on this man. And I'm not talking about the Pope or anything like that. I'm talking about a man that Jesus says in John 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And does amazing things through the life of Peter. You'll also remember that this very same fisherman in John chapter 6, verse 68, refuses to abandon Jesus. He's the one that says, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. In fact, defends the Lord Jesus Christ when they are about to arrest him. And if you know the story, as you do, Peter doesn't go and take the soldier's ear and say, come here, mate, let me just teach you a lesson. Bring that ear here and let me slice it off so you can listen next time. No, he goes and he wants to chop this guy between the head. Right there, he wants to chop him and split his head open. And thank God, misses enough and just chops his ear off. And so we have this scene on Easter morning where Peter is one of those disciples who goes down to the tomb. He spots the risen Jesus on the shore in chapter 21. And it's quite interesting, and it's the first time I'd read it this way. In verse 7, jumps off the boat, and it says that he puts on his outer garment. And you'll know at the time there were two garments, the inner one and the outer one. And that was basically saying, I'm not coming back to this boat. Because he takes his outer garment with him. If he only had his inner garment and left the outer garment in the boat, it's kind of, Jesus, I'm going to see him, but I'll be back for my outer garment. But he takes that with him and jumps in the water and swims toward Jesus. And we know that Peter isn't perfect and he messes up over and over again. And he messes up big time, might I add. And Jesus, on the night he's arrested, predicts that this Peter or one of them will betray him. And you know, this interaction a little bit earlier in chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, where, you know, Peter is a strong guy and says, Lord, all these other guys will let you down, but I will never let you down. And Jesus comes and he reinstates him and he calls him to great things despite his failure. I can relate to that. I have messed up big time. Capital B-I-G, capital T-I-M-E, exclamation mark. I have messed up big time. And here Jesus comes and reinstates this man as he does for you and for me and calls us back to his side. He's our Father, he's our friend, and he never wants to leave us nor forsake us the way he promises. Despite us denying him, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. You kind of go, Lord, have mercy. I mean, how stubborn is this guy? I would never do that. Not me. Maybe the other guys, not me. And it's interesting that Peter, that Jesus says, you will deny me. And that word deny has got to do with, you'll actually utterly deny me. You will disown me. And we know that that's exactly what takes place. Because they ask him, do you know this man? Me, no. Jesus, who is that? And Jesus comes on the lake shore of the Sea of Galilee. And I had the privilege of visiting there in the year 2000 and kind of had this picture in my mind of Jesus reinstating Peter. And I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, despite me messing up so many times, Lord, draw me to your side. And I want to take you back to that place this morning at the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus has invited them to come and share breakfast together and then takes Peter to the side. Not Peter goes with him. He takes Peter to the side with him, the way he takes you and he takes me by the hand and he says, come, I want to tell you something. I want to share of who I am with you because I care for you despite you messing up so many times, Peter. So we pick the passage up in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. If you look at the next slide there, there are four words that are quite interesting. Now there's eight Greek words for love. Us Greeks are confused. But four of them are used more commonly, and three of them are found in the New Testament. One of them is the word eros, which is love at a physical level between husband and wife in the context of marriage. So I have eros love for my wife and her for me. Storge is the family connotation to love, which is, it's not used in the New Testament, the storge, which is the love I have for my son, the love I have for my mother, the love I have for my two sisters. It's the love that they have for me, the family connotation to love. Phileo is the I'm fond of you, mate. The mateship kind of love. The fourth one, agape, is the supreme side of love. The love that moves away from egocentric self to wanting to please the other person. The love that is at the highest level. And the reason I tell you this, because why would Jesus interact with Peter and ask him the same question three times? Well, maybe because Peter doesn't want to hear, not doesn't hear, but doesn't want to hear. Maybe it's to challenge him. It might be something that is wrong in Peter's life. And folk, I can relate to this, and I hope you can relate to it too, because Jesus comes out of his grace and his mercy, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And, you know, He doesn't need to go and speak to Peter. Peter's made his own decisions already. But Jesus comes and pulls him aside and says to him, Peter, do you love me? Now, Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Agape is the word that's used there. And Peter responds and says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you as a mate. Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. Second time, Jesus asks him, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with a supreme kind of love? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Oh, goodness gracious, Peter, when will you learn? Christian, when will you learn? Christophiles, when will you learn? Take care of my sheep. Then a third time, Jesus, you see the change here from Agape changes to Phileo and says to Peter, do you even love me as a mate? Because earlier on you denied me three times before the cock crowed. You the one that said that, you know, I'll go all the way to the end with you, Lord, not these other disciples. They are fickle. They are spasmodic. Don't know what that means, but it sounds good. They will abandon you, but I will go all the way with you. Peter, be careful. Peter, be careful. And by his grace and mercy, Jesus comes back to him and says, do you even love me as a friend? And Peter was hurt because Jesus spoke deep down into his heart. Deep down. And he had to challenge him. Say to him, do you even love me as a friend? If you look at the next couple of slides, you'll see that interaction there. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And Peter responds, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Again, a second time in verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you, it's kind of word for word. Do you agape me? Peter goes, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And then the third time, Jesus has to come down to challenge Peter deep down and say, do you even love me as a friend? And folk, that hurt Peter because Jesus touched on something that was extremely personal and extremely deep and extremely profound that will actually change Peter's life forever. Eternally, might I add. And he says to him, do you even love me as a friend? Now that's profound. And as we sit here this morning, we say, well, you know, I do my best. I do my best. And, you know, I'm not sure if God wants our best. He wants our faithfulness, though. And within that umbrella of faithfulness is giving of who I am to Him faithfully. And Jesus wants to come and restore this man because Peter had failed the Lord. And so God is the one that comes and restores our lives despite what we have done. Folk, it's got to do with what we spoke about yesterday about remorse and repentance and renewal. He comes and He wants to change us and transform us. And He wants us to put Him first. Got a little badge on my Bible here. It's tiny. But I can't take it off because every time I look at my Bible, it says Jesus first. Jesus first. And do I put Jesus first in my life? Do I put Jesus first in my life? Now, that doesn't mean I abandon my family. But in my life, am I putting Jesus first? All good Christians have to watch The Block. Not Married at First Sight, but The Block you have to watch. No. Because there's a spiritual principle there that they take. You can make the scripture say what they want to say or what you want them to. No, but folk, they walk in and they take this terrible building and they restore it to something beautiful. And that's my Jesus. He takes a messed up life and He restores it to something beautiful for His honor and for His glory. So what are the truths about this relationship with Jesus? Number one, there is a challenge of loving Jesus. And Peter felt this challenge because, as I said, before the crucifixion, that Jesus was telling them, I'm going to leave you. In the Gospel of John, there is so much sarcasm there. It's unbelievable. And Jesus is so sarcastic with the disciples. And they go, no, Jesus, you know, nothing's going to happen. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to go, but I'm going to leave you the counselor, the paracletos, the one who will come parallel alongside you and will comfort you and will counsel you and will lead you on the path. But, there'll be a challenge. There'll be a challenge. And Jesus comes and challenges Peter. The last time this happened around a fire was a challenge of humiliation. It was a time where Jesus says to Peter around the fire at the house of Caiaphas and says to him, listen, you will abandon me. Not me. Jesus says to him, you will abandon me. Now, instead of the fire of humiliation, there is this fire after breakfast of restoration where Jesus comes and wants to restore Peter and say to him, come and follow me because I've got great things for you to do. I've got a life for you to live, a great life. Lord, these other guys will run away, but not me. Luke actually explains it to us quite nicely because after that fire of humiliation, Luke says that Peter started swearing and cursing because he'd let Jesus down. He'd let Jesus down. I don't know about you, but I've let Jesus down. Peter, I want you, Christofides, I want you to do this. No, Lord, you know what? It's probably better. You don't know what you're on about, Lord. I'll take over. God, I'll take over. It's a Sabbath. You know, the seventh day you need to rest, Lord. I'll take over. I'll run the world for you. You know, folk, it's challenging. It's challenging to be a child of God, but God never stops knocking at my heart's door and says, come back here. I want to restore you. I want you to do great things for me. Whatever those great things might be, for some it's casting out demons. For others, it's just being faithful to be a godly parent, to be a godly child, to be a godly servant, whatever it might be. God calls each and every one of us to sow those seeds in the kingdom of God. I wonder, in your life and in my life, we complicate things so much, you know, with rules and regulations, and we need to, you know, the Catholic Church does it this way, and the Orthodox do it this way. Why? Because we want to be different. And who's better? Well, obviously we're better because we're doing it this way. No, they're doing it. You go to Israel, folk, and it's sad where you'll see, okay, that's where Jesus reinstated Peter. And you'll find a Catholic church there, and just on the other side, no. The Orthodox Church has to build a church as well. Because this is the actual place. They think it was there. And we begin to complicate things where Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you agape me? Are you prepared to love me the way I love you? And it's hard, but the challenge is there. Remember in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives them this parable of the pearls, where this man goes out and he finds a pearl, and it was so beautiful and perfect that he sells everything he has to go and acquire this pearl because it was so precious to him. It was so precious to him. I couldn't understand this parable till about 10 years ago when I went to the village that my mother grew up in Cyprus. And we went to my aunt to visit her, and she had a bucket of, you know, vegetables and offcuts and a whole lot of stuff, and she gave it to our little boy and she said, go feed the pig. You know, in January they get a little piglet, they make it nice and fat, and December it's history, you know. And so, Michael, come, you know, we're going to go and feed the pig. And this pig, you know, you put all these veggies and the offcuts into its trough, and it eats and drinks a bit of water. It turns around, has a wee. It wees in the same bucket that it drinks from and drinks some more. And if we were to put a pearl in among those veggies, the pig wouldn't know the difference. Greek words. No. it would just eat it and not know the difference. I thought, that's what Jesus is talking about. But if that pearl was there, I would say, hey, step back, mate. That is a pearl. That is a pearl. It's of great price and beauty. Nose off there, you know. Snout off there, because that's of great value. And folk, we know that we are to know Jesus. And Paul uses two words for know. He says, you know, gnosis, to know about Jesus. But he uses another word, epignosis, to know him intimately. That E-P-I is a preposition that just makes so much difference. Because you can know about God and you can know about Jesus. But when, you know, what Paul talks about epignosis, knowing him intimately in a relationship that I know him intimately. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me intimately? Not just as a mate and when we go past each other, high five. But do you know me intimately? The challenge of loving Jesus. Secondly, there's the challenge of serving Jesus. Every time Jesus asked him, he said to him, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of them. And that word feed, you know, kind of take them somewhere where they will be, where they will grow. Where they will grow in spiritual matters. Just like a shepherd takes sheep out to a pasture. A shepherd who loves his sheep will not take them to a place that will harm them. He'll take them to lush and beautiful ground so they can grow, so they can flourish, if you like. And that's what Jesus calls Peter to do. And can I add this, that he calls you and I to do exactly the same. To serve wherever we can. Now, Craig asked me to say this, and he's going to pay me later. But folk, when your neighbor comes and visits or you visit them, it's not the pastor's job to come and preach to them. It's your job and it's my job. Because the pastor does not know my neighbor, but I've entered into a relationship with my neighbor. And to share a little bit of my story. It's not to say, listen, John 3:16, and you know, if you don't obey the Lord Jesus, you will die. You know, so are you ready to turn or burn? No. Some of us do that. And we're still alive to tell the story, you know. But he's asking us to share our story of his glory. Our story of his presence in our lives, the way we conduct ourselves. In my home, sometimes we've got to close the windows. Or we change to Greek because the neighbors don't understand Greek yet. Kind of, you know, and so it's to tell our story by serving others. I mean, I preach to my mother. And I say to her, Mom, in that retirement village, you need to preach the gospel. Oh, my boy, how? You know, I can't speak English too very well. You know how I'm going to preach the gospel. Mom, when you see a new neighbor move in opposite you or next to you in that retirement village, you go, you knock on her door, and you say to her, you know, here's some Greek biscuits. Okay. When can you come to my house? Come visit. And you make them a nice coffee, and they'll stay awake for another 2 weeks. And you give them more Greek biscuits, Mom. And then you've got pictures of all of us on the wall there. We know that. And you say, is my daughter is beautiful? Is my very beautiful son there? You know? And, you know, he's fat, but he, you know, he's... And the other daughter... And, you know, my son is in Australia. He's a pastor. He loves Jesus. And you can begin to share the good news of what Christ has done in your own life in a very simple way. By serving. Now, some are called to stand with a megaphone and preach the gospel. Others just to go and mow the lawn of the neighbor. To go knock on their door and say, how are you doing? But you see, when we love Jesus, it pushes us out to the ends of the earth. But it starts off with our neighbor. You see, the reason for the filling is the overflow. I'm going to say that so many times that tonight when you go to bed, you're going to be having nightmares about it. The reason he blesses us is so we can be a blessing. It happened as early as Genesis chapter 12, where God blessed Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. When it comes to serving, what you share, you keep. What you keep, you lose. Let me say that again. What you share of yourself and what you have, you keep. But what you keep, those gifts, that grace, you lose. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about who you are in the kingdom of God. What you share with those you come into contact with, you keep. But what you keep for yourself, you eventually lose it. Rowan reminded me when I was lecturing, I used to say, get on your 2x2s, and I still say that. We need to get on our 2x2s and go to our neighbor and actually say, how are you doing? And see how we can serve them. There are heaps of opportunities of serving those we come into contact with. We live in a day and age where it's all about this. And I love this because I can keep in touch, but it can often bind me. And folk, I'm told that the younger generation between the ages of 28 and 40 will take 25,000 selfies of themselves. Not me. Me. 25,000, so that's just a simple illustration of we live in a generation or a time where it's all about kind of me, myself, and I, whereas, you know, looking it out. So to try and serve somebody, to try and, you know, serve our neighbor for starters, to invest in the life of somebody else. Yes, and some sheep are very frustrating and vindictive, but you know what? They might be there to hurt us. But by God's grace, you know, we need to try and answer the question, do you love me? And if we say yes, then Jesus calls us to serve and to feed his sheep, to bless one another with the good things about God. When I first came to faith, one of my favorite singers was Don Francisco. I think he came to Perth quite a few years ago. And one of the songs, and I respect you too much to sing it once again, but it's called The Steeple Song, and you know it. I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. I don't care how steep your steeple is or if it's sitting on the cemetery. I don't care if you paved your parking lot and put pads on your pews. The thing that I need to ask you is this. Are you missing all the cues? Do you love your wife? Her and your children, are you laying down your life? He sings. What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sister and your brother? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Please no, Lord. Please no. John 15:13, Jesus says, no greater love of this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that could be that we die, if that's what God calls us to, but he will grace us, you know, and prepare us for that. But that word lay down has got to do with commitment, with purpose. Are we purposefully aiming at serving our neighbor, or is it just okay if it happens? Peter, do you love me? And folk, never do we read about Peter going back to become a fisherman after Jesus reinstates him. In fact, we read about how he goes and preaches to 3,000 Gentiles in the book of Acts and becomes one of the profound leaders of the early church. Serving, serving. And then finally, following Jesus. The challenge of following Jesus. Follow me, he says. And that word follow has got to do with kind of commit yourself to me. Because there is a path, And I want you to come and walk alongside with me on that path with intention, with purpose. Follow me. Eusebius, one of the early church fathers, quotes Origen, and he says, Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downwards as he himself had desired to suffer. When the time came and Peter was about to be martyred, they were going to put him on a cross like his Savior. And he said, no, I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. Only my Savior is worthy. And folk, we must be careful that we don't kind of only think that Jesus wants to, you know, us to die as martyrs. But he wants us to live as servants. That's for jolly sure. And so if God calls us to martyrdom, he'll prepare us for that. But right now, in a super amazing country, he calls us to serve him, to follow him. Jesus has a calling on each and every one of our lives. I mean, I'm reminded in Psalm 139, verse 16, you saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them were began. And you know, that word saw, it's you approved of me, God. You marked my life. You thought about me and think about me. In fact, you stare about me. You view me positively. And that's what he does for each and every one of us. He calls us and he knew us from the very beginning and he stares at us and he loves us. I remember when our little boy was born and Maria would feed him and then I would burp him and I would just hold this little guy in my arm and just look at him. And I would sob and sob and sob because God had begun, you know, a restoration in my own heart of what the locust had stolen in my relationship with my earthly father. And I sobbed and I would just look at him, sleeping, fast asleep, belly full, happy as. I could just look at him. And that's how God looks at each and every one of us. And he looks at us and he's happy with us. I wonder if he's happy with us. There's a story of a homeless man who would go and stand on the street corner and he would beg for money just to buy some food every day. And once he'd had enough, he'd go and buy food. And then he'd go to a beautiful cathedral and he would sit in there. And the vicar would come out and look at this man and not say anything. And this man had this interesting look on his face. And over again, you know, and day in and day out, this man would come in and sit there. And with an interesting look on his face, after a few months, the vicar went and said to him, sir, you come in here day in and day out. You sit quietly. Your eyes are closed. You've got an interesting look on your face. What is it? What is it that you come back to all the time? And this homeless man says, he looks at me, I look at him, and we're happy together. Why? Because this man, despite him being homeless, not had gnosis about God, but had epignosis. He had this deep knowledge and love for his master. As we sit here this morning, I wonder if Jesus were to come and say to you, do you agape me? How would we answer that? Lord, you know that I agape. Or, Lord, you know, not really ready right now. And again, he's not calling us to martyrdom. He's calling us to follow him, to serve him. And again, when Jesus said, Peter, follow me, come on the road with me, come on the same way that I go, he's saying, come and accompany me and join me on this journey. The challenge is, do we love Jesus supremely, or we're just fond of him? I was challenged just before we left Darwin. I was in such a good place. I was challenged because I was so happy and content. I'd been out of Johannesburg for 2 years. We were about to come down to Perth. I was offered this amazing job as a lecturer at Vos Seminary. And then my mind started running away with me, and because I had such an amazing love for these two people in my life, my wife and my son. And the question came, Peter, do you love me? And I was going, Lord, why am I being asked this question? Why am I being asked this question? Please, Lord, let's not go there. Let's not go there. And it was hard. But then I realized that I can still love Eros, my wife. I can still storge, love my son. But the way I love my Savior needs to be with this agape love. This love that serves him with all that I am. Because I know him intimately. Can I know him more? Absolutely. Do I need to be filled more with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Am I being challenged daily? Absolutely. But the question still remains, do I love Jesus supremely, or is he just my mate? Is he like Father Christmas that I go to, you know, Christmas time for a gift? Is he like perhaps a slot machine? You know, when I need something, I go and, you know, put a slot in and he'll give me something. Or do I live and move and have my existence and my being in him? Because he calls us to follow him and to put Jesus first. When he looks at us, do you love me? And we look at him and he looks at us and we're happy together. Major challenge. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Lord, your questions are so simple, yet challenging and profound. And so, Lord, we pray that we might respond in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, draw us closer and closer to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.